Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
Grateful remembering fortifies us against temptation. Time and time again, history shows us that people that forget to be thankful for what has been done for them are much more susceptible to the sin of grumbling against God during the difficult times. This is part 3 in our series, Be Thankful. If you would like to watch the video of this sermon, I've shared that link in the show notes.
The thoughts of gratitude are things that I think that we need to keep forefront in our mind, because it really is so easy, if you're not watching, to just find yourself going along with everybody that's around you. If you think about it, if you're standing in a river, you're out in a river that's rushing, unless you are actively trying to stand against the flow, you just get carried along with it. And if you just pause for a moment, if you're in a mall somewhere, if you're at work and you just pause and just listen to conversations around you, more times than not, you're going to find that the conversations are complaining. People are pointing out what's wrong, what needs to be fixed. If only they would figure this out, if this could be changed, if I was in charge, I would. And there are these negative conversations. And Paul, writing to his friend Timothy, now at this point, Paul is in prison and most likely not very far away from his execution. And he knows it. These are his final words. This is probably the last letter that he wrote. And he's pointing Timothy to, he says, Timothy, listen, I want you to focus on what's important for building people up in the body of Christ. And then he gives him this warning in 2 Timothy 3. He says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents. And right in the middle of this list, we have ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And I think this is the most harmful one of all, having a form of godliness but denying its power. If I could paraphrase that, I would be saying, calling themselves a Christian, but not living like they're a Christian. But look at this list. Now, this is Paul's writing this in the first century, and he says, in the last days. Now, if he was already identifying these things at that point, how much farther has our culture gone downstream from where it was then? How much more so are these things going to be a part of our life? And so it's not enough for us to just say, I should be thankful. We're going to have to proactively, we're going to have to almost fight to be grateful. Because there's some times that we're in situations where you can look around and go, I don't know what to be grateful for in this situation. This is a tough place to be in. I don't know what I'm going to do here. And when you listen to everybody else who's in the same tough situation, they're going, yeah, this is a tough situation and this is wrong. And if only we would have, we could have changed this and now we should probably. And there's this whole list of things that they start pursuing. Because when ungrateful people take their eyes off of God and start saying, what do I have to do to take care of me? George Santayana made a wise statement. He said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. They don't learn from history's lessons, they're going to repeat it. As wise as Mr. Santayana was, this is not a new idea that came to his mind. We can again go to the Apostle Paul. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now, these things occurred as examples. We've got to learn from this history, or we're doomed to repeat it. These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. And then he starts listing all of the things that they gave into. And if you go through that list, it sounds a lot like what he said to Timothy: in the last days, you can expect people to be doing all of these things. You can expect where that's coming from. But he says, we've got to learn the lessons of history. Well, as wise as Paul was, and he penned these under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it wasn't unique to Paul's mind and pen either. You can go all the way back to the very, very beginning of the Bible, and you find God continually reminding his people, hey, don't forget this. Keep this in the forefront of your mind. You're going to have to keep talking about it, talking about it, talking about it, talking about it, or you are going to forget about it, and you're going to become ungrateful people. You're going to become self-focused people. You're not going to look to me anymore. You're going to look to yourselves and to things around you to try to solve your situation. So I want us to look at one, I think it's just a great history in compilation of the history. In Psalm chapter 106, we see the way that the whole history of Israel, and it's kind of condensed into just a few verses, but you're going to see a repeated theme here. I want to pull these things out, and we're going to learn a lesson. Like Paul said, these things were written down for us so that we could learn the lessons and not repeat the same mistakes that they made. So Psalm 106, look at verse number 7. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. So now pause right there. They're in Egypt and they're watching what we now refer to as the plagues or the signs that God is doing. And the psalmist is saying, even while those were happening, they weren't really giving thought to them. They were just saying, yep, look at that. They weren't thinking about exactly what God was doing. When our fathers were in Egypt, they gave no thought to your miracles. They did not remember your many kindnesses. And so as a result, they rebelled by the sea, by the Red Sea. So they left Egypt and they end up by the Red Sea with this impassable ocean in front of them. And it says that they rebelled there. Well, how did they rebel? Let's look at in Exodus 14 is where we hear the story. In verse number 10, it says, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves? I love this statement. Was it because there was no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Like, what was going on with you in Egypt? I mean, can you not even remember that far back? Like, you know, 2 days ago? It wasn't that long ago, okay? You brought us out here in the desert. Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. We'd rather stay here in bondage. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, think about where they are. They've marched out. They've finally been released from Egypt, and they come out, and right in front of them is the Red Sea. All right, we can't go past the Red Sea. And then they look behind them, and here comes the Israelite army. I think that this is probably the origin of the cliche of being between a rock and a hard place. I mean, what are their options, right? We can go this way, and we can drown. We can go this way, and we can be cut down by the swords. Not a lot of great options either way. Here's the lesson. Okay, we're supposed to, Paul said, these things were written down for you that you could learn from them. Or as George Santayana said, you could learn these lessons of history and not have to repeat them. Look at the beginning of chapter 14. So just, we're backing up 9 verses from where we just read. The Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around in the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. They're between a rock and a hard place. Why are they there? Because God put them there. Now they didn't recognize that, and they complained about it. Okay? Why did God put them between a rock and a hard place? Well, let's jump down to verse number 13. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." God put them between a rock and a hard place so that there was no human escape. They didn't have materials to build boats. They couldn't swim across the sea. They had no weapons or training to turn and fight the Egyptian army. They couldn't run to the sides out in the desert. They'd perish out in the desert. There was no human solution to where they were between the rock and the hard place. But God placed them there on purpose so that he could do something that no human can take credit for. That only he gets the praise for. So our lesson that we need to learn is when we say, "I'm between a rock and a hard place," doesn't look like there's a lot of options here for me to get out of this or for me to even give thanks. Well, then you can pause and say, "Let me remember. Let me think back here. God placed me here on purpose because he's going to do something that he's going to receive all the glory for." And so even then, we can begin to give him thanks for what's coming. Here's what's coming. Now, what did it say in Psalm 106? It said, in verse number 7, it said, they forgot about what he had already done. And that happens to us. We get in a dark place, and it's really hard for us to remember back what we used to have. We forget about the past deliverances unless we stop and deliberately call those to mind. And we need to do that. Okay, let's go back to Psalm 106. I want you to see another problem that they had. In verse number 13, God brings them through the Red Sea, drowns the Pharaoh's army. Verse number 13, but they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his counsel. In the desert, they gave in to their craving. In the wasteland, they put God to the test. They forgot. They didn't wait. They were impatient. And so there was a craving that they had. Well, what was the craving that they had? Well, God had been providing food for them, miraculously providing manna for them every day. But the Bible tells us that there was a group of people that wanted more than that. The rabble with them began to crave other food. And again, the Israelites started wailing. All of them, everybody gets in on this bandwagon. If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. At no cost? Really? Your life was the payment there. Also, the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we've lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna. God had been miraculously providing for them every single day. And I love the way that God provided with this manna is that the food, whatever you gathered, didn't matter how much you gathered, if you ate it on that day, it was good for you. Next day, it was rotten. You couldn't eat it. But miraculously, on the sixth day, if you gathered enough for 2 days, it would last for 2 days. You didn't have to go out on the Sabbath to collect that food. It would wait there for you. Miraculously, God provide every single day. Now, you have to remember that, though. When you are eating today's food, you have to remember that the God that is providing for you today is still going to be the same God tomorrow. He's not going to say, "Hey, sorry, can we wait till payday? I'm a little tapped right now. Kind of used up my supply. There was a lot. There's some extra people that were in need, and I just kind of overextended myself. So you're just going to have to tighten your belt a little bit for this." That's We serve the God, we trust the God, we're grateful to the God of limitless supply. Every single day, week after week, for 40 years, he provided. Until they stepped into the promised land, where God had finally said that they could go, the manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Jesus taught us a very simple way to pray. Give us today our daily bread. We need to be thankful each day for the daily bread. We get ourselves into trouble when we start looking at tomorrow and next week, and then at the same time we're looking at our bank account balance, or we're looking at the food that's on the pantry shelves, and then we go, wait a minute, okay, we ate this much today, we paid these bills today, and tomorrow I'm going to have, next week it's going to be, that's when we get ourselves into trouble, and we start to say, maybe I need to take things on myself. Maybe I need to start working on some things. Look at, again, in Psalm 106, they forgot what he had done. They did not wait for his counsel. They said, we don't have to listen to your counsel. We can figure this thing out. But instead, what Jesus tells us, every day, be grateful for the daily bread that you have. Trust God for that bread each day. And I think that that's why let's not make, when you sit down and you're going to have a meal, let's not just throw out some, rote prayer that we always pray when we eat our food. But let's pause for a second and say, thank you. This is my daily bread that you have provided for me. I am truly grateful for this. Don't lose sight of that, because then we're being like the Israelites. We're not waiting for God. We're just rushing ahead and we're forgetting to be thankful. And then it can get us in an anxious spot. Let me show you one other thing. And you probably have noticed a theme here, but you should hear it here. Verse 21, they forgot the God who saved them. Do you hear that? Verse number 7, they gave no thought. They did not remember. Verse number 13, they soon forgot. Okay. Verse 21, they forgot the God who saved them, who had done great things in Egypt. Now, this is starting to talk about now the next generation that is coming on the scene. And part of that is because their parents weren't talking about those miracles anymore. They weren't hearing those things anymore. There's miracles around us every single day if we'll watch for them. But the parents weren't saying, did you see this? See what a miracle it was that God provided this? That we went out and collected manna again today. Isn't that amazing that God did that for us? Look at verse number 29. Here's what they started doing as a result of this. They yoked themselves to the Baals of Peor, and they ate sacrifices offered to lifeless gods. They provoked the Lord to anger by their wicked deeds, and a plague broke out among them. They started saying, maybe we need to take care of ourselves. Again, back to the list that Paul gave us in 2 Timothy 3. Lovers of themselves. I'm providing for myself. I'm looking out for myself. And it appears that this Baal might be the one that helps us. Well, where did this come from? Well, Judges, it tells us after Joshua had passed off the scene in the book of Judges, it says, after that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord or what he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. The whole generation, they didn't know God. They weren't conversant with him. They weren't intimate with him. That's what it said in Psalm 106. They forgot the God who saved them. They weren't thinking about that anymore. And friends, it's really, we do our future generations an incredible blessing when we talk all the time about how God has provided for us. Let them hear that from your lips all the time. Let them not hear the grumbling and the complaining and how You just had to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You had to scrimp and save and scratch and claw to get where you're going. God provided. He gave me the ability. He provided this. He opened this door. He gave this opportunity. He provided this job that brought the income. Whatever, talk about those blessings all the time. And you are fortifying the future generations that they know, that they don't forget and say, well, I guess we're on our own now because we haven't seen any of those miracles for ourselves. Again, there's a lot of the Psalms that talk about this, but I want to take you back to Psalm 37 because I think it just hits so many of these themes here. We could read the whole Psalm, but I gave you just a few verses. David says, do not fret because of evil men or be envious of those who do wrong. Don't focus on that because they're temporary. Like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Instead, here's what we're supposed to do. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Be delighted in what God is providing for you. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. Here's what He'll do. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. And we heard in Psalm 106, they ran ahead. They didn't wait. They got anxious. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger. Turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. Now, we go back to in 1 Corinthians where Paul says that these things were written down as examples for us. Paul goes on to say, do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angels. And again, he repeats 1 Corinthians 10:11. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. And then he goes on to really say, if you think that could never happen to you, watch out because it's going to happen to you. If you forget to keep these at the forefront of your mind, you're going to start fretting. You're going to be anxious. But gratitude is going to help you with that. Look at verse number 16 in that Psalm 37. Better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of many wicked. Why? Because the power of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Don't strive for what they have. Be grateful for what you have. God gave you what you needed, your daily bread. Don't look at what other people have and say, well, I should have that. Okay. Verse number 23, if the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They're always generous, and they lend freely. Their children will be blessed. So turn from evil. Do good, then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. See, we can start off being grateful people, thankful people, and we should be. But as we saw in those three different examples in Psalm 106, if we become forgetful, which can happen so easy if we don't continue to rehearse these things, if we don't continue to bring them back to our mind. And that's why I've encouraged you the last couple of weeks, start a gratitude journal. Write the things down for which you're grateful for. Look for them at the end of the day. You know, say, I'm going to write this down. So all day long, your mind's looking for it. If we're forgetful, then what we saw in all of these scenarios is that the people became fearful, that God can't provide now, or they became selfish, saying, I've got to provide for myself. And as a result of that, they become susceptible to the temptation to try to would grumble against God and say, well, you've let me down, and I'm going to have to do this on my own. Okay? But we can reverse this. We can be thankful, but if we're proactive about remembering, if we keep recalling to mind, if we not only write down our gratitude, but we talk about our gratitude, if we point it out to people and say, look what God did. Look at the blessings that he poured out. Look, this was maybe a little thing that I might have even overlooked, but it turned out to be a really big thing because look what happened as a result of this. If we're constantly remembering and talking about it, then what it brings in us, the exact opposite of being fearful and selfish, is that we become joyful and secure in our God. And as a result of that, then we are fortified against the temptation of giving in to the grumbling and the complaining and the self-seeking things. Both people started off. I mean, you can go back all these examples that we read in Psalm 106. God brings them through the Red Sea and break out the tambourines and the musical instruments, and they started singing their praise. And they didn't get very far, and they forgot. God delivers them, and they say, thank you, God, for delivering us, and then they forget. And this cycle repeats itself. We cannot afford to forget. We have to keep our gratitude at the forefront of our mind. I love what Pastor Jim Cimbala said. He said, ingratitude to God is the first step toward backsliding, moving away from God and departure from God. So it is to our benefit to have a thankful heart toward God. Yes. It not only benefits us now, it benefits future generations because they hear it from us. They see it from us. And then they say, the God that supplied for my grandparents and my parents is still the same God on the throne today that can provide for me. And they can take that baton and continue to run with it. We don't want them to be like that generation that we saw in Judges, that new generation. We haven't heard about this. It's not been real to us. So we're going to try to make our own path. Hey, let's try this God. Let's try this route. Let's try to provide for ourselves. But instead, we need to be, again, the words from David. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We sang it in a song a few minutes ago. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. We can find more than that if we'll look, if we'll keep our mind open, our heart open. God, what have you done today? How can I bless you? How can I thank you for all your benefits? Think about it. Write it down. Talk it out. It's good for you, and it's beneficial for the future generations as well. So Lord, help us. Help our minds to be so receptive to the blessings that surround us moment by moment, day after day, week after week, year after year. As the psalmist said in Psalm 37, we might be old now, but we can still look back at a lifetime of benefits and blessings, and we can see that you are still the same God today as you were yesterday, as you will be tomorrow. Even if we're between a rock and a hard place, there is cause to give thanks to you because you are going to do something miraculous there. You provide for us and our daily needs every single day. And Lord, we want to continue to be thankful now so that we're setting up future generations for a successful walk with you as well. We don't want them to stumble and have to find their own path, but we want to set them up on that path for success in you, for experiencing a lifetime of blessings from you. So remind us to be thankful. Show us the blessings so that we can continue to be grateful people and we can live in a joyful security in you. And we are not only fortifying ourselves, but building up the generations that will come after us. May this life that we lead, this grateful life, this thankful life, be not only a blessing to you, but may it be a witness and a testimony to others that see that we're not going with the flow. We're not giving in to that whole list that Paul said, this is how we can mark the last days. But we're living above that, and it would stand out, and people would recognize that there's a Savior that loves them as well, and they can live in that place of joyful, secure gratitude in your blessings. Help us to be able to do that, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friends. Write those things down that you're grateful for. Talk about them. You can't do that enough. Bless the Lord, O my soul. forget not all its benefits. I love you. Have a wonderful week.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.